If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, can we try this one more time, standing up just to read the word, okay? Out of reverence to the Lord. And it's good to stand in church. If you haven't stood in church today, it's good to stand. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse number 7, also good to see UTC and Andrew, Pastor Ralph. Is your pastor yet, Ralph? Are you on your way to that? Or you're almost there. Okay. So soon to be Pastor Ralph and all the UTC. All right. Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 7, are you there yet? All right. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. I want you to repeat after me. Say, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We shall reap in due season if we do not lose heart. Why don't we pray? Lord, thank you again for your word, for this beautiful congregation. I pray that you would just have your way for the remainder of this service, and that I pray you speak to the hearts of your people. Inspire us for greatness, but also let us know how our season is coming. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tell the person next to you, say, your season is coming. Tell the person on the other side, your season is coming. Tell the person behind you, your season is coming. Say it with faith. Your season is coming. Now you may be seated. We find this passage, let us not grow weary while doing good. How many of you feel like you're doing pretty good? Be honest, in the Lord. Okay, if you don't feel that you're doing good, by faith you're doing good, right? Sometimes the feelings don't match the faith. That's why we can't depend on our feelings. We got to go by faith. Let's not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. You may not be what you want to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. Right? You're better than you were yesterday. You're better than you were a week ago. Because you're going forward. As long as you have a forward progress in the Lord, you're doing okay. And you got to look forward to your due season. And the key to it all is just continue to move forward. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't stop. Because your season is coming. See, many times delays are not denials. In other words, God promises things, but it doesn't always be delivered on the time scale that we have or the time frame we want. He has his own time clock. He has his own time that he wants to bestow blessings on his people. He wants to answer prayers. He wants to fulfill promises. He wants us to have a destiny that's great. But in the process of getting to that season, we go through changes. Now, the word season means, it comes from the Greek word kairos, which means an opportune time. It means to set time, a set time, an appointed time, a due time, a definitive time, a seasonable time, a time for a proper time for action. You see, there's a timetable for each and every one of us that God has set up for our destiny. And every one of us are on our own journey of faith. We're on our own journey of faith individually, as family units, also as churches and ministries. God has great doors of opportunity awaiting for us as we continue this journey of faith. You see, the season, like even the word due time, right? If you've ever been pregnant or have had, you know, or you're a husband that had a wife that's pregnant, the doctor usually gives a due date, right? They give a due date. And they let you know the baby should be expecting at this time. Well, I think out of all my five children, I think every due date was not right on the time. I think every one of them was off. Same month, but wrong date. So sometimes we put a date on God's time clock for our lives. And we expect it to happen at this time, but God says, I'm delaying it for a reason because I want to explode your life through this date because it's going to have the bigger effect. It's a proper time for you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. So your season, the key is that you got to stay expecting. I knew the baby's going to come. Even though it passed that date, I knew that she's still pregnant. Still big. getting a little bigger. You know, three out of the five, this is just for fun, three out of the five children that we had, while I'm preaching on a Sunday morning, she goes into labor. The first one, they handed me a note during the altar call that your wife's on the way to the hospital. And so what I did is I handed it over right away to one of my associates, and I went and I sped to the hospital. The second time it happened, the second child, they did it the same thing during the altar call. I don't know what it is about my preaching, but it got her to go into labor. And she went into labor, and all of a sudden I get another note. She's on the way to the hospital. I go, okay, and I hand it off. I rush to the hospital. The third time it happens, they hand me a note again. She's on the way to the hospital. I continued with the service. I prayed for people. I had lunch because the baby doesn't come till the next day. Took my time, played it cool. You never know the date that God has for you. You got to just stay on fire. You got to just stay going forward. Come on now. Some of you are about to give birth to something, a spiritual blessing. Something's good going to happen, but you just got to not grow weary. Keep doing good. There's also a reference here in Colossians 4:5. It says, redeeming the kairos, redeeming the time, redeeming the kairos. Meaning this, making the most of every opportunity, maximizing every moment. In other words, God has great things in store for us, but we got to redeem the time. What types of seasons does the Bible mention? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it talks about there's pleasure in sin for a season. How many of you know, for many of us that are saved, or all of us that are saved, our season for that is over. We don't get pleasure in sinning. We get conviction when we sin, right? When you didn't know the Lord, you just enjoyed the sin. Until it began to kill you almost, or took you to prison, or took you to a place, of a low place. Then you cried out to God, and he reached out and saved you, cleansed you, sanctified you, and gave you a purpose. So that pleasure in sin for a season, that season's over. Scratch that season. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, be ready in and out of season. In and out of season. We got to be prepared because our opportunity may just come at any moment. Also, a season indicates an appointed time. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there's a time for everything. If you read that whole chapter, you'll find the time for everything, all these things that there's a time for. See, in life, we're going to experience many seasons. We're going to go through many changes. Seasons will come and go. See, the Bible compares people to trees in the Bible, that God's people are like trees. And then those trees go through different seasons, such as summer, fall, winter, and spring. Now, for California, our seasons are different, it seems to be, than yours. You actually have more of a winter than we have. We have like a small little winter, and you guys have a big winter. You might have a small little summer. We have a big summer. But nevertheless, they go through different seasons, these different places, different areas. Same thing with people. People go through different seasons. Now, in the summertime, people feel very much alive. The weather is good. It's predictable. It's warm. But at times, it becomes lethargic. You need refreshment to continue to revitalize yourself. Or you could become sluggish or tired. You see, sometimes when things are going well in your Christianity, sometimes you could be in a not press in as much. Oh, I don't need to go to church today. Oh, I don't need to go to Bible study. Oh, I don't need to do. You begin to pull back when God's blessing is on you, when God says, no, don't grow weary. I told you, no, don't grow weary while doing good. You're doing good. You're on the right path. Don't pull back. It is summertime. The sun is shining. Things are going well. But you got to stay in the right place doing the right thing. Come on now. Then there's a fall season. The fall season, the weather condition changes a bit. It becomes a little bit more unpredictable. The roots of a tree during this season need to start going deeper to get the nutrients that it needs. Some days are warm, some days are cold, some days are windy. If the tree learns to endure different weather changes during this season. And in this season, things could start to rub you the wrong way. because things aren't always predictable. So you could begin to get irritable at times as a Christian if you're that tree in the fall season. Also, there's a pruning that takes place in the fall. During this pruning phase, unfruitful branches are cut off. So what does that say to us? It says stop doing fruitless endeavors. Things that are not fruitful for you, cut those things out of your life before you got to go through the pruning season. Are you hearing me? You do the cutting. You start doing what's fruitful for you and for your ministry or for your life or for your family. Secondly, good branches are cut back so that they can bear much more fruit, flourish more robust for the next season. So some of the pruning is good, but some of the pruning is to cut off the things that are not good. Are you hearing me? So during the fall season, you got to go a little bit deeper in the Lord. You got to go deeper in the things of God because things aren't working out the way you want them to work out. It's not predictable. So instead of uprooting and leaving, you stay planted and you go deeper so you can continue to bear more fruit. Are you there? The maturity of a tree is determined by the number of rings it has. If you cut a tree down, you'll see that it has rings. Every ring signifies a year of going through the weather for all four seasons. In other words, a whole year of weathering the storms, weathering the good weather, whatever it may be, but it's gone through those. It's the same thing as a Christian. You're a tree. And if you've been saved 3 years, you have three rings. It's better than world championship rings. Serving God and having those types of rings of a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that's bearing fruit, that's prospering the things of God, having a ring one year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. My parents are now over 50 years of rings. For me, 26 years serving the Lord. 26 years, rings. But I had to weather storms. I had to go through trials. I had to go through tests. I had to go through the fire. But one thing I did not do, I did not grow weary while doing good. I did not give up. I did grow weary, but I didn't give up. Are you there? And then there's the winter. Oh, we all love that part. There's the winter season that comes. It comes in the life of every believer. But for the new believer, how many of you are new believers in the Lord? Maybe 2 years or less. Anybody out there? Come on, lift it up. Okay, good. Now, you may have not hit your winter yet. Maybe you're in your honeymoon phase right now. Things are going good. But then that winter will come. The first one is the most bitter to go through because you never expect it to come. We don't know what to expect or what to do during the winter. Through experience, we learn what to do in the winter. On the natural side of things, we wear warm clothes. See, I wasn't prepared for your winter when I came here. I'm a prime example. I'm not prepared for the winter here or the fall here, whatever you want to call it, because it feels like winter to me. I know officially it's the fall, but it's winter to me. So I wasn't prepared. I didn't bring enough clothing. I didn't bring the right stuff. But the same thing in the things of Christ, you got to prepare for your winter because your winter will come. And in the winter for a tree, the tree prepares by dropping all of its leaves and pulling all of its resources inward deep into the branches, trunk, and roots. Do you hear what I said? It goes deeper. It pulls all its resources in into the trunks, roots, and branches. It's not a time of growth for the tree, but it's a time of endurance and testing. Endurance and testing for the tree. It's not going to grow the fruit at that time in the winter. It's not going to grow more branches. It's not going to grow. It's pulling all the resources in so it could survive the winter storm. The enemy attacks for us during our winters. When there's a vulnerability to the outside conditions and there's a dependency upon the resource that God gives us to survive, we can make it through our winter. We got to depend on God that much more during winter situations. Some people during the winter, what they do is they isolate. They get alone and they pull back. They want to quit. They want to give up. They want to surrender because it's too difficult to endure the trials and testing that they're going through. Some people in their winter, they start blaming God for their situation. They start blaming the Christians. They start blaming the pastor. They start blaming others because of the winter that they're in. Instead of understanding it's part of the process so that they can endure that much more in future winter situations, that they can gain experience on how to persevere and how to be strong and tough and have some spiritual backbone. Not to walk by feeling, but to walk by faith. Not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. So you look at me today, you say, man, you haven't been to the winter. I've been to some winters. Philip knows a lot of the winters I've been through because he was right there getting hit too. Anyone near a person going through winters expect to get hit with that same snow. It's coming your way too. But I have good news for you. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a, say it louder, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that should bring forth fruit in due season, whose leaf shall not wither, but whatever he does shall prosper. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Right now, you're a tree planted by the rivers of living water. If you're a member of this church, you're planted as a tree by living water. If you get to this altar, you're right in the middle of that river because the Holy Spirit moves up and down these altars and it refreshes you, it builds you, it gives you the confidence and the boldness and to go forward in the things of God that you're not going to give in, you're not going to give up, you're not going to go back. Where are you going to go but to the Lord? Where are you going to go? You're a tree planted. Your roots are deep. You don't give up. You don't give in. You don't go back. You're in this for life. Many of you have 2 rings, 5 rings, 6 rings, 10 rings. Let's go for all the rings we could get. Amen? So you may have had a bad season. Well, just like our teams, our favorite teams. Bad season, right? Then we look forward to the next season. Right? We're expecting with hope and expectation that next season is going to be better. I feel bad about the Lakers. This is not their season. Last year wasn't either. I can't think that next year will be either. But their season will come eventually. But even more so than that, our faith in the Lord and expecting hope with expectation. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up like wings of eagles, shall run and not be weary, shall walk and not faint. Come on now. God wants to prosper you. You want to soar on wings of eagles. But when you wait for your season, you have that hope and expectation. Now, there's 5 things when you're in your due season. Because some of you are in it, you don't even realize it right now. Your prayer seed comes to fruition, number one. In other words, all the prayers you put before the Lord, all of a sudden you start seeing them being fulfilled. Those promises you were praying for, all of a sudden they're coming to pass. You were praying for your son, he's right sitting next to you today. He's on fire for Jesus. You're praying for your daughter, she got saved. You're praying for your wife, she's on fire. You're praying for your husband, he's coming to the Lord. These things start to happen. And if they haven't happened yet, that seed is still in motion. And the watering it with more prayer and more prayer, eventually that seed will come sprouting up into a plant and it'll be that person, that promise that will come to pass. Amen? So you got to keep believing that all the seeds. Now, the only problem with this, if you don't pray, you don't stay. If you don't pray, you won't receive. So you got to sow. Sow prayers. In order for us to get what we need and what we want, we need to pray. Now, 3 things we can count on when it comes to the law of the harvest, okay? Number one, God will cause a harvest to come from our seed sown. Okay, we're going to sow seeds, God will cause a harvest. Secondly, God is never early, never late, but always on time with our best interest at heart. Our harvest, number three, our harvest will have the same nature as a seed sown, whether good or bad. Are you sowing good seed? Some people sow a lot of anger, and they're going to get a lot of hatred back. Some people sow a lot of, you know, gossip, and that's not good either. You're going to get a lot of problems coming your way. But there's other people that sow good seeds. Seeds of love, they're going to get relationship. Seeds of faith, they're going to get what they're praying for. Seeds of finances, they're going to get their harvest of finances, resources. You continue to sow the good seeds, expect your harvest. Amen. Expect your harvest. But there needs to be seed sown through prayer. The Bible says in Luke 18:1, says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. See that? Pray and not lose heart. What did we talk about earlier? Doing good. Well, doing good, and then it says, your due season will come if you do not lose heart, right? If you do not lose heart. So prayer is a key, especially when you're in your winter. Don't stop praying. Pray more. That's the time when the enemy wants to come in, and he wants to bring death to you. But that's what you say. I'm not going to die in my winter. I'm going to survive, and I'm going to begin to thrive in my winter. Come on now. Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Say after me, in everything, give thanks. In my winter, I will give thanks. In my summer, I will give thanks. In my fall, I will give thanks. And especially in my spring, will I give thanks. You see, when you're in your due season, it's like springtime. It's blossom and blooming. The birds are singing. You got your new Easter clothes. I mean, all these things are, you know, it's like newness. It's a new feeling. And so we're looking forward to that spring while we're in our winter, that it's coming. Don't extend your winter by reacting wrong in your winter time. I've seen people that extend their winter by doing all the wrong things. And then, like I said earlier, they're just blaming, when really it's them. They could get out of it today. All they got to do is respond. All they got to do is make one altar call, and God could do that work. You may find yourself today in your winter, but I'm here to declare to you, don't die in the winter, but look forward to your spring. Number two, when you're in your due season, how many of you feel like you possibly could be in your due season right now? Anybody? How many of you are looking forward to that? I'll tell you this. I'm in my due season. For the last 2 years, I've been feeling that due season. So what I'm preaching to you is what I've lived out and what I've experienced. Okay? I'm praying that it keeps on rolling. Because there will be other seasons, I know. Because the process continues. But I'm not looking forward to all that, but I'm going to hopefully shorten those other seasons, try to get right back to the spring. Amen? Secondly, you stand back and watch God manifest. What am I talking about? He starts doing some powerful things that will blow your mind. Things like provision, seemingly out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you get a miracle blessing. All of a sudden, you get a miracle job. All of a sudden, your boss calls you in and says, you're going to get a miracle raise. All of a sudden, your wife can't give birth, but all of a sudden, she gets pregnant and gives birth. Things like this begin to happen, not because you're doing anything different or new, but because God is doing his seasons for you right now. See, this happens not because you're doing anything special or different. You're not. It just happens to be your due season. You're now reaping what you've sown. You've been sowing some good stuff. You've been praying. You've been studying the word. You've been like that tree planted by the rivers of water. You've been faithful in your church, faithful in your ministry, being a good father, being a good mother, not a perfect person. No one's perfect, but you're doing good. You're doing good. So now God says, now is your time to see my manifestation. You're now reaping what you've sown. Recognize it. You know, I've seen God work in many lives, and at times I'm amazed how he works even through my life. I started out as an evangelist, and I would pray for the sick quite a bit. I still do. And I remember, you know, when I pray for people, God would touch them. But I wouldn't hear the report sometimes for years later. There was a lady that came up to me few months ago. She says, 10 years ago in Sacramento, you made an altar call for healing. My hands were like this from arthritis, literally all deformed. You put your hands on my hands, and you said, God is healing you right now. I walked away from that altar. The next day, my hands were, I was moving them, and they continued to be movable. Then I went to the doctor. He says, you're cured. I don't understand it. How did this happen? But listen, I didn't even recognize it that God was using me. I was in the manifestation of the power, but I didn't get the result till 10 years later. So what does that do for me? It builds my faith. And then other young people, they say, you prophesied me over me when I was 17. Now, what you said 10 years ago, I'm doing today. I mean, I get reports like that all the time. But when you're flowing in it, sometimes you don't see the result of what you're flowing in. It's all by faith. It's all by stepping out. And then when it comes back, you're like, oh, now it builds your faith even that much more. So today, I'm so faithed up right now. I'm full of faith. Some of you need a miracle. Your day has come. I believe for some of you, your day has come, or God's going to do the work in you. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this earthen treasure. It says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So we got to remember, when God starts manifesting himself, it's not about our glory, it's about his glory. I am humbled that God is able to use someone like me. I really am. Some of you don't know my testimony, but I used to be very shy, very timid. I was so shy that I didn't want to call for pizza when I was very hungry. I would ask my sister, can you please call? She says, you can call, you're 17. I says, every time I try calling, I fumble my words. I mess up, and then I just hang up. But I did try, and I just couldn't do it. My dad had gotten me flying lessons. I don't know if my dad's always had a dream to have a plane someday, and you know, God's able to do whatever, you know, those great things. But back in the day, he got me flying lessons. I think thinking the futuristically, I could be his pilot, you know. So I got these lessons. I did 24 hours of lessons. After the 25th hour, you go solo, not with the instructor. You go for another 25 hours with the instructor, without the instructor. Now, in doing these lessons, I noticed that the instructor got on the radio, okay, and he would call numbers. He would say 245 SB, but he would just go fast. And so as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, there's no way I could do that. But you know what I was doing before that? I mean, as far as flying, you know, in those lessons, you do stall outs in the air. You know what this is? What you do, part of the lesson, and you go, you just keep going, going, going. Up until the engine goes out, and then just and it glides, and then you're supposed to fire it up again. Now I was thinking, if this thing doesn't start, I'm going down. It's over. But I was able to overcome that fear, and then I was also able to overcome. It was like touch and goes, where you land, you touch the runway, and then you keep going. Also able to endure the winds. Sometimes very windy. Landing that little plane, the Cessna, single engine, it's not as sturdy as a big one. So you're like this, and it's scary, but I was able to do that. But the one thing I feared was talking on that radio. So guess what? I quit. I quit the lessons because I made up a dumb excuse. I said, baseball season's starting, so I don't have time to do lessons. That's what I told my dad. But I was lying. I was giving an excuse because I was fearful of speaking. Now, you look at me now. I'm looking you right in the face, talking to you directly. Only God could do that work. So today, I tell you, if God could do it for me, he could do it for you. Let me give you another one. Doors will begin to fly open for you. Doors will begin to fly open. When you're in your due season, doors will fly open. You know the TV shows you see that we're doing now? 3 years ago, I was knocking on that door, talking to TBN, asking them, hey, can we do the show. At first they said yes. Matt Crouch said yes. But then he went through his own seasons, his own storms, and he put us on hold. Okay? Then 2 years later, I get a call seemingly out of nowhere. I'm with my dad. by the beach. We were talking, and all of a sudden I get a call from the producer there, or the overseer of the shows, and he says, we want to do your show. We want you to produce it, and we will air it for free. Not only that show, but your youth show too. Doors flying open, flying open, flying open. Ever since we got into our new building, our season began. Manifestations have happened. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. This year, we see those two programs come out. More lives are being changed all over the world. There's an expansion taking place in South Africa that's supernatural. They're opening up a new church in Johannesburg. I mean, God is doing tremendous things. And listen, you're part of this family. You're part of this victory. You're part of this covering. So if God is raining on us, God's about to rain on you. Come on, give the Lord praise. Come on. Doors are flying open. So doors start flying open for you. Trust that God is, it's your season. Number four, instead of running from the devil, you'll be able to laugh at the devil. You're like, I'm afraid. No, you'll be okay. What do I mean by that? I mean that you're going to have joy. The Bible says, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 9. Well, first of all, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, secondly, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9 says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, say a little while, say a little while, if need be, you may have been grieved by various trials. Okay? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So what does that tell me? It says the trials will eventually cease. It also says that you believe, but you don't even see them. It also says that you need to rejoice in the midst of your trial, knowing that the end of your faith will produce something good. Are you hearing me? So, meaning, don't give up when you're going through great trials. You keep moving forward. And let the joy of the Lord be your strength in the midst of your dilemma. Did you hear what I said? Also, the Bible says, not only does God give us joy and salvation, but gives us joy and growth. In John chapter 15, we see the passage of the vine and the branches. I'm not going to read the whole passage. You can read it later. But in verse 11, it ends this way. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy, meaning his joy, may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So you're going through the process, but in the midst of your process, you're going to produce fruit. Your fruit shall remain. And also, if you abide in him and his words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you trust in the promises of God, that God is a promise giver and a promise keeper, then you're going to have joy in the midst of your process on the way to your fulfillment of your blessing. Am I speaking too fast? And lastly, expect spiritual warfare. Now, this spiritual warfare is going to come in a different way. Not the front door. Not the side door, but the back door. What do I mean by that? I mean, now that you're getting blessed, you're in your due season, things are happening, God's doing some great things, sometimes we begin to say, wow, look at the things I've done. Wow, I've accomplished this, I've accomplished this. We've got to be careful. We've got to remember that we had our winters, and guess what? God was there. God brought us through. If it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for his strength, it wasn't for the words that we got in the midst of our struggle. If it wasn't for all the work he did, we would not be where we're at today. The devil will try to lie to you and say, wow, look, you're so good. But before, when you were in your winter, he was saying, you're horrible. What a loser. Oh, my God. You're not worthy of this. He'll put you down. But now when you're on your doing good, he starts building you up. Hello. He'll send people to you and say, to tell you how great you are. And you got to always listen, always play an even keel. In other words, if somebody says something nice to you, say, amen, praise the Lord. You don't have to say, to God be the glory, get all crazy with it. Just say thank you, you know. But you got to know inside that if it wasn't for God, I would not even be alive. If it wasn't for God, I would be in an institution somewhere. If it wasn't for God, I'd probably be dead. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for God. If you have that in your heart, if you have that steadiness in you, that when you're blessed on the mountain, you won't get prideful. You won't start saying, I did it all, I did it. No, it's God through you and in you. Amen? It's okay to be confident, but I like to be God confident. It's okay to be confident, but you've got to be God confident because God is the sustainer of our faith. Ultimately, we got to be aware of Satan's tactics, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he'll do whatever he can to get us off course. But Victory Outreach, I have news for you, that we're called to reach the treasures out of darkness. And as God prospers us, we reach out to more. We pick others up. And the best way to reach people is when they see you in your due season. They see you full of joy. Even in the midst of your winter, you have the joy of the Lord. Even in the midst of your storm, the blizzards of life, you're still moving forward. You're still on fire. You're still loving Jesus. You don't give up. You don't give in. You don't move out. But you continue in the faith. You're like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You're not going to give up. For in due season, you shall reap a great harvest. Do not grow weary while doing good. Stop sowing to the flesh, because you will reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. Can someone come to the piano? We're going to pray in just a moment. God has great things in store for you. Don't believe the lie of the devil that your best days are behind you. Your best days are ahead. God has greater things ahead. We got to start thinking that way. Start sowing the right seeds. If you're not a giver, you start giving. If you're not a giver, don't expect a blessing from God financially if you're not even a giver. You may say, well, I'm on welfare, I'm this. That's how Victory Outreach started. With people on parole, people on probation, people that were still nodding out in their seats. The first tithe that we received, or first total, was a dollar something. We have it logged in the old little book. But now, today, a lot of those people that started out that way, they own their own businesses, own their own houses, own their own cars. They have families that are fruitful. Some of their kids have gone to universities. They turned their lives around when they just started giving little. But little is much when you place it in the Master's hand. Because if you place it in the Master's hand, he's a God that doesn't go broke. He's a God that has more than enough. And so he's able to give at will, just like that. Boom, easy. All he's looking for is your faithfulness. Well, you have faith enough just to believe as you give, he's going to give back to you. But it may not be in your seat, your timing. Remember that. But it will come. Expect like the baby will come. Because you impregnated something by planting that seed. Amen? So your baby will come. Your seeds, they will not come without a harvest, good or bad. I want the good ones. How about you? Let's all stand. Lift your hands to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's in this place. I want you to look to the Lord. I've been preaching a lot today, trying to get what God gave me. But now it's time for you to apply it, allowing the Holy Spirit to finalize and seal the work, to build your faith up, to believe what I preached is true, so you could grow, so you could develop, so you could be all what God wants you to be. So if God's been speaking to you through this message, and you feel like whether you're in one season or the other, but you feel like God spoke to you, I'm opening up the altar.